Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Women Excelling Everywhere. I am Julie Anderson, aka Brain Lady Julie, your host for this program. And I am again so excited for this special edition. We're rolling out some special interviews this month as we get ready and we come close to the launch of the Women Excelling Everywhere co-authored book. I am so excited to be here with another one of my co-authors and my friend, Michelle Erskine. Michelle, welcome to the Women Excelling Everywhere show.
Thanks for having me.
I am so excited, and I'm even more excited that you are in the book. But before we get to some of the content and some of the messaging, let me just read for the listeners a little bit about your background, a little of your bio. So Michelle is a mom, artist, entrepreneur, and an athlete. Michelle lives a vibrant life, balancing all of the elements that make her wonderfully unique. She knew from an early age that she loved both the fine arts and performing arts. She moved to Truckee, California in 2003, where she raised two children, started multiple businesses, which we'll hear a little bit about today, and joined community-focused organizations. She owns Art Truckee Gallery, along with Art Truckee Nonprofit. The Art Truckee Gallery showcases multiple artists, including Michelle's own fine art landscape photography. She manages local musicians and performs in the Truckee Tahoe Reno area. Her love for the arts grew into a passion for supporting live performances, and she raises scholarships for students about the arts. Michelle runs a community of women entrepreneurs called eWomen Network Reno Tahoe. Michelle is also a Truckee Rotarian and ambassador for Truckee Chamber of Commerce and a Truckee Downtown Merchants Association board member. So again, welcome, Michelle, to the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast. Yay. I am so excited. I just read her chapter earlier, and it is so yummy. I absolutely love it. She has a beauty in her writing skill, as well as the end messaging is so powerful, so powerful. But let's just kind of walk people through, like, who is Michelle? Like, tell me a little bit. You don't have to go into lots of detail, but tell me a little bit about who you were, like, where were you raised, and who's Michelle?
I don't even know. I'm just kidding. I was born in Hollister, and it's about 2 hours south of San Francisco, and a farm town. Where everybody knows everyone. And I had the same grade school teachers as my dad and high school math teacher. So it was just a really great place. It was really beautiful in the springtime. And the town was just getting too big for me. So I had to move somewhere. I moved to Truckee, which is about a 5-hour drive from Hollister. And I moved there and it just instantly felt like home.
I love that. And for those of you who don't know the Reno Tahoe area, that is the beautiful Lake Tahoe in the background of Michelle's picture. It is. And Truckee, I've visited Truckee many times. It is such a quaint little town. What were some of the things that drew you? Because you said Hollister got too big for you. What were some of the things about, or what are some of the things about that small town feel that drew you to Truckee and that you really like?
My family would vacation here multiple times a year. So I was familiar with the area. It was far enough from my parents, but not too far in case I needed them. But not too close that they could just stop in unannounced. And it was just all about, I just love everything Truckee and Lake Tahoe. This area is about the community. It's all about outdoors. Everybody's super health conscious. It's just all about quality of life here. And that's what I was really drawn to. And it felt like home because I grew up in a small town. I was related to half the town, not literally, but I felt like I was.
Yeah.
And everybody knew me as someone's younger sister or somebody's daughter or somebody's niece or somebody's granddaughter. So I wanted that feel and that vibe of a small town, but starting fresh in my 20s. Actually, I was 19 when I moved to Truckee, and I wanted that same small town feel, but starting over fresh.
I love that. I love that. There is something beautiful about going where everybody knows your name and can sometimes get overwhelming, but that is fun. That is fun. Now you are, and you share this in your chapter in the book, you are very, very connected to the arts, the performing arts, and the literal arts and painting and photography and musicians. You do a lot with musicians through Booking Tahoe. And like, what do you love about that? Like, what drew you into, or was that just something you always had had a longing for or a natural gift in?
I'm not sure the right way to describe this, but I feel like when you have a general vision and you're moving forward, the universe kind of chooses you. So if you are open and not so narrow-minded on what specifically you need to do, you'll find that you'll stumble across things that are even greater and even better than what you specifically had envisioned for yourself. So I was very open, and I brought with me a background of entertainment and art, and that's just kind of who I was. So when I moved here, I was very open, and doors just kept opening, and they kept closing, but then they kept opening again.
Yeah, so tell us about that, because where you're at now, like, you went through, you've opened several businesses, like literally storefronts, and not had them, you had to close the doors on the first couple. What made you continue to want to go down that path? Tell us a little bit about that in a nutshell. So you opened your first art gallery when?
2004. It was December of 2004. I purchased an existing business. It was a really cute custom picture framing store with a nice little art gallery in the front. And it was showcasing a lot of local artists, historical photos of the area. And that was kind of my introduction into being a new business owner in Truckee. And on top of that, I was learning a whole new trade. So the business owner, as part of the deal, was I had training on the trade, the custom picture framing. And so I learned a whole new skill, learned how to be a business owner. And it was pretty much just, I dove right in, and the economy, just the whole world went upside down. 2008, everybody was losing everything. And if I didn't have a small child, I probably would have fought harder to keep that business. But because I had a small child and I had some health issues I was going through, I decided to pivot. And as entrepreneurs, we are professional pivoters. We're like basketball players, right? And I said that to my kids last night, and they said, "Mom, oh, don't say that." But really, we're professional pivoters, and the challenges come at us, and we're bobbing and weaving and dodging and figuring out how to make adjustments.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. That's a story, and you're going to have to read her chapter, because she talks about the birth of her son. And girl, you didn't wait hardly any time before you went right back to work after he was born. Like it was under a week?
2 days.
2 days.
Right out of the hospital. Yep.
And that was your first. Oh my goodness. I was out, like, I just, yeah. You, kudos. Like, this is amazing. An amazing woman. And part of that probably had to do with your physical fitness. You were physically fit, so you could bounce back. That's not necessarily the topic of your chapter, but it was so interesting when I read that. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. And that shows the desire and the drive too that you put. So everybody will have to read the chapter to find out more on that. Over the years, you definitely did have challenges like that challenge. What was one of the most challenging things that you experienced, and how did you navigate your way through it?
The most challenging.
Or just one, not necessarily the most, just one of the most, right? You don't have to, you don't have to go into the most challenging. They're going to have to wait for book two for that. But just a challenging, like we all have different challenges and we address them in different ways. We approach them in different ways. And some of us, we, you know, may let it knock us down a little bit. And some of us, we hit it head on. Like, what was just one of the challenges that you faced? It could have been your closing of your shops or your health challenge. Like, just what's one of them? And what was the way that you navigated your way through it?
There were really quite a few challenges in the last 20 years. I mean, on both hands, you know, there were quite a few. I would say jumping right into a business, having everything just all happening at once. When I first moved to Truckee, you know, I met the man that I pretty quick thereafter ended up marrying, bought a house, bought an existing business, had a baby, had some health complications, all within 2 years, which really set a foundation of instability right away. And I had to drop out of school. I was very sick for 8 months. I did not go into detail in the book, mm-hmm. but I was very, very, very sick for the entire pregnancy. And so I had to drop out of college. I was going to also enrolled in school at that time, very sick for 8 months. My son was 3 weeks early and I had to drop out of school. And so I think maybe not being able to finish my education and really understanding how to run a business probably set me up for a tougher road than if I had finished schooling and really, I mean, does that make sense? If I Yes. had that education foundation, it would have set me up a little bit better on how to take these challenges as they came.
Right. And yet you managed to navigate your way through them. What do you think was the key in helping you navigate your way through them? So, you know, you, like we said, you were there back in the store a couple of days after your child was born. And even once you had to shut down the first, due to the economy and everything that happened in the 2008, 2009 time period, you managed to get right back in the saddle and open another shop. So what do you think was helpful to you? Was it mindset? Was it just looking for the opportunities, keeping your eyes open? Like, what was going on up here that helped Michelle continue to move forward and not just go, oh, I'm going to go get a 9 to 5 and I'm just going to live my little life. Like, what kept Michelle going through all that?
Absolutely. I've always said I'm a big picture girl. It's always about the big picture for me. What am I doing today that's going to get me to where I want to be tomorrow? And too many people at that time were very woe is me. But I think just having so much gratitude every day and looking at, okay, how can we make this work? How can we make the best of the situation? We can't do this, but look at all these things over here that we can do. So that's kind of a model of how I tried to raise my children. You know, instead of telling them no, 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 I told them, okay, well, look at all these things we can do. Look at all this opportunity, even though you can't do that, instead of telling them no, saying, okay, well, let's redirect our focus over here and let's concentrate on what we do have and what we are able to accomplish. And so just always moving ahead, always moving forward, understanding, and I didn't even realize it at the time, that being an entrepreneur, it's part of the job to be constantly reinventing yourself. And as the world is changing and shifting, and you need to be right there and you need to be reinventing yourself right along with it. And that was something that I didn't know in my 20s, that was an essential part of being an entrepreneur. Now, obviously I've lived it. So
yeah. You know, there's one of the things that I highlighted this in the chapter when I had the privilege of being able to read it earlier. And you said that the closure of your first gallery wasn't a defeat. It was a pivoting point, a shift in my focus to be able to homeschool your son, share irreplaceable time with your children, and you were given other opportunities during this time period to learn about photography, develop new skills and perspectives, revealing a new layer in your journey. I love that because you didn't take the woe is me track. You were like, okay, all right, this was a setback, but hey, it wasn't really a setback. It's just a different direction. And you embraced the moments and the time that gave you to do more. And I found that just brilliant, a brilliant piece of advice for women. Now, when you are, and you, it also in line with the title of the book, Women Excelling Everywhere, you were able to excel where you were at different points in your life, which is beautiful. Now, what were some of the, were there any like role models along the way? Anyone that you looked to that was like, and even, well, first, let me back up before I ask that question. So now you've got the first shop shut down. You have another one. It shut down. And you share that story in your chapter. And now you have opened a third. And you're making a go of this. Why did you continue to go in that direction? What was your drive? Was it your love for the arts? Was it...
I might just be crazy, but no. I don't know any other world. This is my world. This is who I am. I've attempted to get other jobs, and I was a snowmobile tour guide for 8 years, backcountry tour guide for 8 years, which was great. I love working with people. I love being outdoors. So that was great. But my passion is creating, being artistic, really bringing people together, collaboration. It's truly a calling. It's something that I also didn't realize in my earlier years is a gift that I have is connecting and bringing people together, especially women, young women, women artists, women entrepreneurs. I showcase and I feature mostly women in my store, not all, but I feel drawn to connect people. And so my gallery, my second art gallery, Art Trekkie, from day one was all about collaboration, bringing people together. And that's how my entertainment company got started, is I was doing so many things supporting the arts that another company was born from that.
I love that. I love that. And you know, something that I read in your bio as well that I find very interesting is that you're very active in the community, not just in your business, but in the local community, in the board of directors, in the Rotary, in these different organizations that are all about that community feel. And that's all something that I think, do you think it helps you to stay just connected and invigorated when you need that extra something? Does that make sense?
Well, I've always, since grade school, I've always ran for student government. I've always been in the community service clubs, high school. Pretty sure it was Key Club and Interact were the two. And that was like a high school version of Rotary. So it's always just been a way of life for me. It's been really natural for me to be involved in these organizations. I guess in my mind, when I was younger, I just thought this is what people did. And, you know, you go to your Rotary Club and it's always just been a way of life for me. And I don't think twice about it. Mm-hmm. It feels really good. And then when you're in a room full of people who are like that, it's the most incredible feeling. It's life-changing to be in a room full of people like that and be surrounded by that energy.
That's such a good point. That's mm-hmm. such a good point, because that that energy is contagious.
Yep.
And if it's a positive, which you have to be cautious because the negative energy can be contagious as well, but that putting yourself in situations where you are with other people who are excelling wherever they're at, right? Yep. And you're sharing those stories and you're sharing. And I know that certain clubs that you're part of are very big in giving back to the community and supporting the community and things like that. So they have the, you know, the networking and the support piece, but they also have a lot of philanthropy connected to it as well. Now, when you look at your life and you look at the different people that you've connected with, can you think of someone who's been a really positive influence that has helped you to open up new avenues or new ideas for businesses, new ideas for connecting people? Is there anyone that was an inspiration to you?
Gosh, I think there were quite a few. I would hate to leave anyone out. There's been quite a few people that at different times in my life have helped me along the way. And when I was struggling with the first gallery, you know, there were a number of people that were there, and then the second gallery, and then now today I have a number of people that I look to, people from my past. It's really just different people at different times.
Now you are currently doing, in addition to, so you have several things as was brought out in your bio, right? You have several different avenues that you are several different things that you're doing. And one of them is working to help support female entrepreneurs and help them connect and help them learn. What drew you into that role? Because it's a little different than your role as a business owner, or your role as a mom, which we haven't even touched on that yet. But like, what drew you into wanting to do that?
eWomen is an organization. Let's see, 2006, 2007 was right around the time when I became a member. So I was very familiar with the organization. It was an organization that really aligned with my values. And I met so many incredible women being a part of this group. All of a sudden, they needed a leader, and the timing was perfect. I had just closed my second gallery. I had the time. I was able to fly to Dallas the few times I needed to fly to Dallas, do the trainings, go to conference, meet other managing directors, and really learn the role. It took me a solid year to really grasp what it was that I was doing. And when I first took the role, I didn't really see it as a business or a business opportunity. I saw it as, how can I build community? How can I keep connecting these women together? And I just thought the group needed a leader. Might as well be me. You know, why not? Right? I'd been a part of the group for so long. I thought, okay, why not me? Not that I had a whole bunch of experience to lead with. I just knew that, like being a CEO of your own company, you don't always have to have all of the answers. You just have to surround yourself with the right people, ask the right questions, and, you know, learn as you go. So I took this role. It took me about a solid year to really grasp what it was I was doing, and really found that this is just like running my business. It's just like being the CEO of your company, is running this organization of women entrepreneurs, flying in speakers from all over the country, running network events. It was a lot more than just connecting women. It is really like running a company.
You know, you can see this thread, or I can see this thread throughout your entire life, of being very involved in helping other people, whether it is, so Michelle obviously has a big heart, whether it was being a part of groups or running groups, wanting to see other people succeed seems to be this beautiful thread that is in, or should I say this beautiful brushstroke that goes through the painting of your life. Ooh, I just did an artsy analogy. Before we wrap this up, I want to touch on what an amazing mother you are, because the road has not always been easy for you in that, and that's book two. There's another thing out in the future, but it's now you're a single parent. You are having to navigate the co-parenting situation. You are having to, help your kids as they grow into adults. Your daughter, you talk about the very gifts, the artsy type gifts, the skills that she has in her life, in embracing her. And when you talk about your kids, you're so passionate about it. What do you love about being a mother and having kids? And what are some of the, just, what's your biggest challenge in that arena? And what helps you to overcome it? So that's kind of a three-part question. So what do you love about being mom?
Oh, it's the best. It's the best and the worst. I mean, it's the hardest. It's insanity being a parent. It's everything that is challenging and magical, all wrapped up. And so looking back at being able to homeschool my son, who is so smart, so incredibly smart, it was like, it was a gift that I was given to be able to spend that, like I said, irreplaceable time with him. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. You just don't know when you're in the moment and you're struggling, and you just don't know the gifts that you're given. And homeschooling him in particular, he thrives in that environment. When COVID happened and he had to homeschool, his grades went up. I mean, he was a kid that really loved that environment. And I was able to go with him and show him all the real world applications of his curriculum. We did the field trips and we were climbing mountains and making messes in the kitchen. And really, it was a beautiful time that I got to spend with him. And really, he got it. He could have those almost adult conversations with me as a young child, pertaining to his schoolwork and making those videos on historical figures. He really, really got it. So it was super cool to be able to homeschool him in particular.
Yeah.
My daughter is a totally different creature. She is an artist through and through and needs that group energy. She needs to be around other students. So she didn't really thrive so much in the COVID time. But she was there. She was there watching her brother be homeschooled, getting that foundation of math. And, as an infant, really just watching. And I could give her a shoebox, like an old shoebox, tape, glue, scissors, glitter, rocks, leaves. And for hours, she would create this masterpiece while I was homeschooling my son. She would create these masterpieces in this old shoebox. And then you'd lift the shoebox and it would have, like this whole scene that she's created. They're just incredible. They're incredible humans. And it has been a really long, challenging road over their life, especially with COVID. And to see, I'm going to get emotional, to see my son, he's student body president this year. So proud.
So amazing. I love, as you can hear your energy when you talk about that experience of being a parent. And that is so amazing because you've embraced the challenges with an open brain, right? With an open eyes, and you've been able to make some amazing memories. And that's an excellent message for the readers and she does share some of this information in her chapter. And this is the whole point of excelling everywhere, right? No matter what situation you're in or what circumstances are handed you, embracing those moments and being able to look back and just smile and get happy emotional about where those moments have led to this time. So I love that. I love that story. Sorry for making you emotional.
I thought we're talking about my kids without crying.
I know, you know, yeah, I agree. I hear you. So in the, as we wrap this up, Michelle, okay. if there's one message that you really want the readers of your chapter when the book comes out, hint, hint, mark the date, February 24th, that's when you can download it as Kindle. And on March 8th, you can order the paperback. What's the one big message that you want for women to take away from what they read in your chapter? Or just what message you want women to hear now?
I really had to reevaluate my definition of success. And what does it look like to thrive? What does it look like to have a thriving mindset and, you know, not be in survival mode? You know, what does it really look like to be successful? And so I just touch, it's just a chapter. So I just touch on, I guess I never really even stopped to think about what it means to be successful until I started writing this chapter. Didn't know what the title was going to be until I was finished writing it. And it really, for me, is all about defining success. And for me, which my son now, who is in high school graduating 18, he thinks I'm crazy that dollar signs are not in the definition of success for me personally.
Yep.
So what is your definition of success and how you can create a life that you want for yourself, not just going through the motions, having that thriving mindset, which is all something that can be achieved in your younger years. But I really believe that for me, I had to go through everything I went through to have a much stronger grasp on what that means, or for me at least.
Yeah. I love that. And I like the message that define your own success, you know, define your own success, because like you said, your son's success has the dollar signs attached to it at this point in his life. Right. But for it, sometimes we get that societal pressure of this dollar signs equal success. So the fewer dollar signs, the less success, the more dollar signs, the more success. And that's not the case. Success is what you define, what you make it, what you want. And you are a successful parent. You are certainly a successful business owner because you have been able to reinvent so many times, and you're thriving. You're definitely successful support in the community. I mean, there's just so many wonderful things that scream success when you hear Michelle's name. So I want to thank you so much. This has been such a fun interview. I cannot wait for the entire book to come out. And I can't wait for the readers to read your chapter, because I know they'll be inspired by it, and it will help women to excel where they're at, which is such a beautiful sentiment. So thank you, Michelle, for being a part of the book. Thank you for this interview. And I look forward to great things to come.
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me. I mean, I wouldn't have been a part of it if it wasn't for you.
Oh, I am honored that you are here. All right. So we'll go ahead and wrap up. Like I said, mark your calendars, February 24th for the digital, for the Kindle version, and March 8th for the paperback. Be sure to stay connected with Women Excelling Everywhere. We have so much to offer you as a community. We have a private membership community that you can be a part of. We've got all of the inspirational stories that are coming out in the book, and so many things, a summit coming in March, so many wonderful things. So stay connected with us. We are womenexcellingeverywhere.com. You can shoot us an email at info@womenexcellingeverywhere.com. You can follow us on Instagram and all of the like. You can also stay connected with Michelle. Oh, you go ahead and tell us while I'm looking for it.
The links. Well, yeah, I'm arttrekkie.com, michelleerskineentertainment.com, EWNRenoTahoe.com. If you would like to join the women entrepreneurs group that I lead in the Reno Tahoe area, I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram.
Wonderful. 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 We will make sure that we put all those links in the show notes as well so people can stay connected. And yes, go network with the wonderful eWomen Network members in the Reno Tahoe area. All right. I want everyone now, thank you for spending the time with us. And as I close up all of my, all of our podcasts, I want you to roll your shoulders back, take a nice deep breath. Go out there and simply enjoy every moment. See you next time.